Hi, this is Blake Ruby. Welcome to my show, Gods and Goddesses. I just got up from a little nap a short while ago, and it's been a good day. I got up, I went to the track, and today I ran some 200-meter runs. I really like them, and I think I need to stick to doing 200-meter runs, not 400 meters, but 200. And lately, I would say over the last several months, I've been focusing on doing sprints, 100-meter sprints. And I'm not really fast, but I can push my body all the way to the limit. Something about sprinting, the benefits, you know, the increased circulation, is your heart beating faster, the testosterone, they say, you know, it increases the testosterone. It increases and enhances the immunity system. And the breathing, you know, the lungs, of course, breathing is better. But I like the 200-meter. And I've been having this little hamstring issue with my right leg, and it might be because of the sprinting, the 100-meter sprint. So today I was doing 200, and that's my, besides in the past, liking the 100-meter sprints. The 200-meter has been my second favorite, if you will. But now I believe I'm going to start doing only 200-meter sprints. Why? Because it also gives you that little bit of endurance factor. And as you know, that the human body can only run full speed like 200 meters before that lactic acid starts building up in the muscles, and then you can't, that's as fast as you can go, you start slowing down. No one can run full speed more than 200 meters, approximately around 200 meters. So and I like running on the track because it's less impact, you know, than asphalt or concrete or dirt tracks. But I would recommend, of course, you need to check with your doctor first. The perfect workout for me is, and I think anybody should do this too, because a little bit of running is good. I could take anybody and whip them into shape if they cooperated, of course, if they listened to me, because I do this all the time. I've been doing it for the last 5 years. And when I was in the Army, I used to run, so I was a really good runner in the Army. I used to compete when I was stationed in Monterey at the Language Institute, and I just went back there with my son. In May, we had planned on doing a trip up to Monterey because he was born there on the 26th of May, 1994. And he wanted to go there and see the hospital where he was born at. So we made a road trip, and I flew into L.A. to visit him back in May over his birthday. And when I was stationed there, I was the run team captain for golf company, G Company. So they have all these other Army companies there, Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, Delta, Echo, Foxtrot, Golf, and I think they have a hotel company too, if I'm not mistaken. And they have a Marine company of Marines there. And then they have a Navy company too, I think. We used to compete with the SEALs sometimes for these 2-mile run every month. They probably still do. It's called the Commander's Cup Run. And they used to have it around the Russian school. When I went back there, I noticed they changed the Russian school. Now it's a Persian Farsi. Anyway, that was in my condition. I was years old, and I maxed perfect score number on the Army PT test 9 years in a row. And we would compete with all the other Army companies and the Marines and sometimes the SEALs for that run, that course, which was about 2.1 miles actually. And at that time, I could run 2 miles under 12 minutes every time without fail. In fact, I would run 2 miles, I'd run a 2 mile course, I'd look at my watch as it's crossing the finish line, and it was always within a second or two or 3 seconds maybe of 12 minutes. Isn't that something? And I've been watching the Olympics, you know. And, I mean, most of them are racing against the clock, you know. And that's a good thing. I root for everybody in the Olympics, you know. Everybody. The Russians, the Japanese, the Australians, the Americans, everybody. And so I know what I'm talking about when it comes to running. And the 200-meter run, I think it would be good for anybody. But you got to incorporate a little bit of walking in the routine also, you know. So I started out by walking a couple of laps, breathing through my nose. And like today, then once I'm about halfway around the track, then I'll run from the middle over to the other side in the middle. Then I'll walk for 400 meters and then do another 200-meter run. I'll be on the other side when I start. And then walk 400 meters, run 200 meters. And that is a good workout. Now, I run at about maybe 75% power. And I hold my hands as if I don't do the karate chop run, you know, like Carl Lewis used to do, because I found that, I think that contributed to my hamstring issue I've got in my right leg. I used to have I had a hernia down there too. Back in 17, I had hernia surgery. And I think the reason is because, one of the reasons is because when I donated one of my kidneys to my son back in 1995, back in those days, there was no such thing as less invasive surgery. So they used to cut people open from one side to the other, you know. So I've got a big scar from my back, but the middle of my back, lower back, all the way on the right side, all the way to the front. So they took the kidney out. And when they did that, it took me a while to recover. All those nerves were severed, you know, and there wasn't any ceiling down there. It was like a board. It felt like a board. I walked before they said, you just got to get out and walk. They got me up after the surgery and had me walking, even with the IV. And if you ever had major surgery, that's what they do. You know, you're in the hospital, they get you up and walk. You got to start walking. Okay. Dang, I sure don't feel like walking, but it'll be good for you. And so that might have contributed to my hernia and also that hamstring on my right side. It's all on my right side. But that's another thing, too. I shouldn't be really going fast, should I? I mean, I'm almost 67 years old. I'll be 67 on the 9th of August. I've done pretty good, haven't I? But, well, why not? I mean, this hamstring, it's just a minor thing. But that's why I like the 200-meter better, I believe. I'm going to change and do that only. And I can go as fast as I want also with my 200-meter run. As I was saying, you hold your hands, you know, as if you had some potato chips inside. You know, you don't want to crush them. Just a soft fist, if you will. Not the karate chop. Not a run. That way I found that you can use more power and you can access more power. You also watch the sprinters on television, you know, on YouTube. Usain Bolt, all the great sprinters of all time. Now, some do. Carl Lewis, you know, used to do the karate chop sprint with his hands open, you know. Some sprinters do that. Female sprinters do it. But then others, like Usain Bolt, never did that. And he was the greatest sprinter of all time, no doubt. You know, he won 100-meter and 200-meter runs in the Olympics, three Olympics in a row. So you want to look as far as form and technique goes, you know, follow him. And he would curl his fingers, kind of have a soft fist, you know, when he ran. There's a science behind it. It really is. And I've done a lot of research. You just can't get out there and just do what you want. You got to think about it. You got to do it scientifically. You got to push your body. If you're going to push your body to the limit, you got to know how to do that. I'm not so concerned about how my feet land and the length of my stride. I just, you know, I get up to full power. And it's a good feeling, you know, running down the track. This place, you can feel the breeze and you're pushing your body to the limit. But I could take anybody, even somebody who's old and overweight. I would say, meet me on the track. This is what you're going to do. You know, maybe you might not be able to do 200 meters. You start out with running a little bit, you know, 100 meters. Get the form down. I mean, look at the way you swing your arms. You know, keep your head up. So the Army taught me a lot. I'm grateful for the Army. They gave me a new life, so to speak, you know. Changed my life around. Did 22 years in the Army. I wasn't going anywhere. I had a job working as a bellman at a hotel. And back in those days, you know, I was living with my parents. Living with my parents on and off. When I was younger, I moved out for a while, got my own apartment, moved to like two different places in San Diego, and moved back in with them. And then I joined them after they moved to Las Vegas. Yes, my friends, my parents, you see, we're all shaped and molded by our parents, aren't we? And when are we responsible for our actions? I submit to you that we're not truly responsible for our actions until when our parents have passed away, because we're always under their influence. Now, I grew up in a secondhand smoke environment. My parents were alcoholics, so what does that tell you? It means that there was a generational curse going on, which I broke, by the way. It took me a while, even when I was in the Army. I was drinking 6 years before I gave it up. Started getting a little bit of trouble, you know. I won't go into the details because I'm not too proud of that, you know, back in those days. Although I was doing some pretty good things, too. I was a strong runner even back then. But I needed to give it up, and I did. It was Labor Day weekend. 1988, when I gave up drinking alcohol altogether. And at that time, I was 34 years old. My parents were still alive. They lived another 11 years. And then I had the kidney transplant in 1995, and then I felt the need to eventually go vegetarian, eat only vegetarian food. In March of 1999, and then in September of 1999, I went vegan. Nowadays, I might eat some food that's got a little bit of dairy in it, or a little bit of eggs, but for the most part, 99% plus vegan, have been since 1999. And I'm doing okay. I know I'm not the only one out there, right? sometimes I see you like I'm the only one. No one can relate. But what made me change my mind to become a vegetarian? One of those things, besides, you know, the kidney transplant, being old, and I used to drink one time, used to smoke. I knew I had to pull out all the stops to ensure my longevity so I could reach a ripe old age, you know, because my goal is to live as long as I can. 100 years old, here I come, you know. I don't know how many people have only one kidney and live to be 100 years old. Now, that's something I'd like to research. Anyway, so why? Because I was reading a book called, I forget the name of the book, the title. The author is James von Prague. He's a psychic medium. I don't know if he's still alive. I think he is. I haven't heard if he passed away. James von Prague. And so it was one of his first books. I forget the name of it, but he was saying that when you eat red meat, your body's vibratory level slows down, you know, because it's digesting it. Your body can digest red meat. I was talking about red meat, excuse me. You can eat it. Your body can digest it, you know. I mean, I ate everything until I was 44 years old. I used to have 2 steaks a week, you know. Oh, so tasty. Delicious, you know. But not easy to digest compared to, say, some vegetarian dishes or vegan dishes. And there are some pretty delicious vegan vegetarian dishes, too, you know. And they usually incorporate a lot of vegetables, which are good for the digestive system, a lot more fiber, right? You have a bowel movement. You have better bowel movements. And you don't get constipated as much. That's reality, you know. I'm telling you the truth. And as far as the ethical considerations are concerned, well, yes, I'm concerned about that, but I don't judge anybody for eating everything, meat, chicken, beef, fish even. I tried just only eating fish, but then something in me, I'm the kind of person where if you go for something, I go all the way, you know. If you're going to do it, just go all the way. So I gave up eating fish. There's support for like ova-vegetarian or lacto-vegetarian where you can eat dairy, eat only dairy and no meat, or you eat only eggs and no meat. There's different words for it. I forget what they all are. Anyway, so as I said, I don't judge people because I figured if God, the creator of the universe, put these animals here on planet Earth, maybe part of his intent was to provide them as food. Otherwise, I mean, they are food for each other, right? We know that. Animals eat each other. I see birds flying around here in my backyard eating insects. Simba, who was my best friend for 10 years, disappeared from our yard here. I don't know if he was in the front or backyard, but more than likely to some hungry coyotes that come here in the neighborhood in the early morning. And he was the king. He ruled this roost here for, like I said, 10 years. And he was confident. He was strong. He was fast. He'd roam around the neighborhood. He'd walk the fences here in the side of our yard or in the backyard. He'd jump up on the fence like there was no problem at all. And even though he was getting old, I think he had one of his front fangs was knocked out one time. And he was getting off with other cats in the neighborhood. One time, he got so badly scarred during the fight, and I think I know the cat. I saw him a couple houses down. It's huge cat. Man, it was huge. But he's under with that cat, I think. And his head was so scratched up, we called him Franken-Cat. We were joking around with him, but he got healed. And so it became dinner for some coyotes, I think. Or maybe there's some big birds around here, too. You know, big owls that have like about a 5 feet wingspan. Or hawks, you know, with about a 2 or 3 foot wingspan. And we had a cat called Ninja Kitty. Had a big black fluffy old tail, bushy tail. And one day he became missing, gone. We think that he might have been walking on our fence on the side or in the back. And one of those big birds just swooped down, picked him up. And I don't hold it against the coyotes, you know, as far as Simba's concerned. Unless he was beamed up by some extraterrestrials out there, you know, as a companion. With animals, they don't have any fear of ETs that are out there. And I know they're out there. I don't believe I know. That's the difference between me and some people, I think, because I've bridged that gap between belief and knowledge through a process known as logic. So my old buddy Simba, he might either be in an ET spaceship right now, or his bones might be lying around the front door of some coyote den over in the distance, maybe a couple hundred yards from where I'm speaking right here. I love Simba. I was thinking about him today when I pulled up, and I just sobbed like a baby out there in my car. Makes me kind of sad just thinking about it right now. He used to keep me company out here in the patio. He'd curl up on the chair, on the table, over on the side of my enclosed patio here. He used to sleep in my laundry basket up in my bedroom in the closet. He never slept on the bed because even though I grew up with cats, I was told that I'm allergic to cats. I took the test. So sure enough, if I pat the cat and don't wash my hands right away, you know, and then maybe I'll rub my eyes or something, I'll start sneezing, my eyes will be watering. But I was doing okay. You know, we've got another cat here in the house. We've got one in the garage. There's one that stops in sometimes. We call him Funky Butt because he's missing part of his tail. He's a cool cat, that Funky. I call him Funky. Everyone else calls him Funky Butt. He's got blue eyes like you wouldn't believe. His eyes are so blue. And then the one in the garage right now, she's a female. I call her Ginger. She's got a yellow eye and a blue eye. I was looking at her today. She was looking at me. And very, cats are very beautiful. You know, they have a certain kind of intelligence. You got to love them, really. But I miss my old buddy Simba. As I said, I don't hold it against the coyotes. I know they've got their puppies to feed, but still, you know, all it took was Simba to let his guard down one moment. That's all it takes, you know, these coyotes are masters of stealth, and they can sneak up, you know, on cats or small dogs in the neighborhood. Excuse me, I'm going to take a drink of water. Anyway, my professional development, I've been practicing singing a cappella. There's something about karaoke music that I haven't quite figured it out. And I'm an intelligent person, but, and I should say, there's something about singing karaoke music, whether you use a microphone or not. And I've done plenty of both. Well, I'm a master of the microphone. I know how to use the microphone, but there's something about hands free. When you get your hands free, you're able to sing better, in my opinion. I don't want to burst anybody's bubble, but that's just me, and I've got so much practice under my belt that you've got to take me seriously when I'm talking about this kind of thing. A cappella singing has its virtues. I know some of the famous singers out there, they practice a cappella because it builds power and strength in your voice. And I've seen all these great singers using a microphone with one hand or one hand or the other, the right hand or the left hand. And maybe I'm obsessed. I've become obsessed about this, you know, but it's a science. When you do it a lot, you practice a lot, you want to work out the minor details, you know. I wonder why you're feeling a certain way. Maybe your breathing has changed, and you can notice that when you're sleeping, you know. We are our own best critics, you know. We can see what's going on in our bodies when we do something. You know what I mean? And with singing, I believe singing is good, but I wish there was an audience out there for a cappella singing, because that's really where I started my singing career back in 2010. Besides being in the Army before then, when I used to sing cadence, you know, I was always a really good cadence caller, but in 2010, I started singing a cappella. And I practiced it a lot. In fact, where I worked, we were in this building. It was an abandoned Kmart before we moved to Fort Sam, in the building that they built us in the Army. The Army built us. I moved here from Alexandria, Virginia to San Antonio. And while they were still building our place that we were going to reside in, our building in Fort Sam, this three-story building, must have cost millions of dollars. They put us in this abandoned Kmart. We called it the temporary lease facility. And you can see everybody from one end to the other. There was cubicles. It was like a cubicle city. And all the different staff directorates were everywhere, over there in the middle, over the corner. You could see everybody that worked in our building, about 700-800 people, you know. So I got here in August the 6th, 2010. I worked in that building. And one of the things I did was I started a singing club. And maybe a few people interested, not many. I would have my practice, and maybe one or two or three people would show up. So I started out doing that, and then I started singing karaoke songs, and I learned one after the other, and so many. I learned over 100 by memory. But there's something about that. It's hard to keep up, and when you're singing to music, you really need a microphone, you know. I remember we had a gospel workshop one time, and this fairly well-known gospel artist told us there, as we were sitting in our group, he said, if you're going to sing to music, you need a microphone. But if you're going to sing a cappella, you don't, you know, obviously. And so when you sing to music, you need a microphone, and you need to hold it in your left hand, your right hand, or put it on the microphone stand. And it all depends on how much moving you're going to be doing around the stage, you know. If you're going to be moving a lot, then obviously you can't keep it on the stand. You got to use it in one hand or the other, or both hands. And that, in my opinion, is the way to go, you know. Shift. Try to do an equal amount of time on one hand or the other. So hold the microphone in your left hand, kind of like you do with a cell phone when you're talking, right? You shift from one hand to the other. I do, you know, after a couple of minutes, then change over to the other hand. I naturally do that. It's the same with the microphone, you know. Sing with the mic in your left hand for about a minute, switch it over to your right hand for about a minute, and I try to even it out equally. Does that make sense? Is that logical? Not everyone does it. It's hard to do, but that would be what I consider the right way, you know, right in quotation marks, the right way of doing it. But I've been practicing a cappella a lot because I still like singing. I even went to the Rudy Warriors, you know, that in 2013 I started going over there and singing for them. And that's really who I learned all those songs for. And so I learned songs about God, nature, love, working through issues, you know, divorce, and anything I can think of, that songs that I like that people could relate to. So I've got a listing of songs here, like I said, is over 100. And then, of course, I know all the Christmas carols and then the patriotic songs and all the gospel songs that I've learned. I remember the gospel choir at Fleeton Chapel on Lackland Air Force Base back in 2012. And we've learned hundreds of songs since then. Now, I don't remember the words to all of them, just a very few. The ones that I have solos for, I know them. And so I was going to sing some songs for you because I like to get my, I've been practicing, trying to do at least 5 a cappella songs a day. Why? It'll strengthen your voice. It'll give you confidence. It'll help with your breathing. And when you sing also, like I said, it's best to be hands-free or shift the microphone from one hand to the other. But if you have your hands free, you can gesture with both hands at the same time rather than just one. So usually when you sing, you want to express yourself, you know. And if you're right-handed, then you can express yourself better with your right hand. So you hold the microphone with your left hand. But still, you also need to express yourself with your other hand because you don't want to be, you want to learn to be ambidextrous, you know, left and right hand, not just only right hand this, you know, right hand that. Use your left hand sometimes. Just for people, it's better for your brain, I think, you know, both your left hand and right hand doing things. Am I right? You agree? I didn't hear you. I'm just kidding. So when you sing, you should have your hands up, not by your side. Although it's okay to have your hands by your side sometimes, but if you really want to have better breath control and look at your audience, raise up your hands to about above waist level. That way you can expand your lungs to their fullest capacity. When your arms are down by your side, you can't expand your lungs to the fullest capacity. I've learned this through experience and also reading a lot. Done a lot, believe me now, research on this. I've been in front of a congregation of over 200 people singing in front of them in a gospel choir, the only white guy, okay? So I know what I'm talking about, kind of. I think I do. You know, it's my opinion. That's what I'm saying. But it's based on experience and practice. Seeing how I feel in front of people, you know, seeing in front of 200 people or more, like last Sunday. And tomorrow, I'll be up there in the front singing. And before, I felt like I've been hyperventilating. And I used to feel that way when I used to hold my arms down by my side until I picked up my hands. And then when you're able to expand your lungs to the fullest capacity, then that feeling goes away, you know? Anyway, so I'm going to sing some a cappella songs because I haven't got my practice in today. And well, this is my show, isn't it? I can do what I want, whether it's my time, whether it's singing or talking, anyway. So I'm just going to sing my gospel songs. I want to sing some of the songs on my list here, songs I know. I've been going to the Wounded War, as I said, since 2018. And the last time I went was back in February of 20 before COVID struck. And which songs? Let me start with an Eagles song, maybe. John Denver is one of my favorite artists of all time, the Eagles. How about Desperado? Can anybody relate to the song Desperado? I've sung it over at the Wounded Warriors. It talks about a guy, somebody who just won't let people love them, you know. They're competitive. They're living in the fast lane, kind of. They they don't focus on love. Instead, they focus on other things. When they should be, just let people love you. I'm trying to do that myself. So it goes like this. I'll talk about it some more when it's finished. How am I doing on time? Can't tell. Anyway, that's blocking it. But anyway, Desperado, why don't you come to your senses? You've been out fighting fences for so long now. Oh, you're a hard one, and I know you got your reason. These things that are pleasing you can hurt you somehow. Don't you draw the Queen of Diamonds, boy. She'll beat you if she's able. You know the Queen of Hearts is always your best bet. And it seems to me some bad things have been laid upon your table. But you only want the ones that you can't get. Desperado. Oh, you ain't getting any younger. Your pain and your hunger, they're driving you home. And freedom, whoa, freedom, well, that's just some people talking. Your prison is walking through this world all alone. Don't you drop, don't your feet get cold in the winter time. The sky won't snow, sun won't shine. It's hard to tell the nighttime from the day. Losing all your highs and lows, ain't it funny how the feeling goes away. Desperado, why don't you come to your senses? Come down off the fences and open up the gate. Well, I should say, come down off your fence and open up the gate. It may be raining, but there's a rainbow above you. You gotta let somebody love you. Let somebody love you. Let somebody love you before it's too late. So, my friends, that was Desperado by the Eagles. And you notice how I took my time. There's no rush. You don't have to do it fast. I've noticed that even when it comes to public speaking, got to take your time and learn how to pause. You're not doing that. A lot of people aren't doing that. And it's driving you crazy because you're living life in the fast lane. That's one thing about music, too. You don't get a chance to rest. I mean, it's cool if you can do it, especially if you can do it until you're 60, 70, 80 years old. You've got to learn to pause and take a breath. And acapella singing will teach you that. If you're feeling stressed out, that's why. I mean, sometimes people don't even let you take a breath, you know? you should be able to breathe freely. It's free. Breath is free, my friends. I'm learning it the hard way myself. I see what I've been going through, you know, in my past life. So I take my time when I'm singing a cappella. There's no rush. You can breathe freely. It's going to make you feel better. It's going to make you happy. I see it in myself. I was laughing so hard at my son the other day. Happiness, that's what it's all about, my friends. We're living on a planet of sorrows. All the war and killing we've had in the past, you know. This is called the planet of sorrows. In the universe, that's what we're known as. Because they've seen all the war and fighting that's gone on in our past throughout the centuries. That is typical of a Category 1 planet, which is the lowest on the evolutionary scale, my friends. Where we learn basic social values. We don't remember our past lives. We're born into this world, and we're here for a specific reason, to grow, develop our light. I've talked about this before in other shows. Increase your light, my friends. Increase your light. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to sing another song for you. About Annie's song by John Denver. And watch how I pause. I take my time. I feel rushed. I take my time. You fill up my senses. This is called Annie's Song by John Denver. Like a night in the forest, like the mountains in springtime, like a walk in the rain, like a storm in the desert, like a sleepy blue ocean. You fill up my senses. Come fill me again. Come let me love you. Let me give my life to you. Let me drown in your laughter. Let me die in your arms. Let me lay down beside you. Let me always be with you. You fill up my senses. Come fill me again. Anyway, that's by John Denver. So, I know that some people, I remember singing a cappella songs one time at the Wounded Warriors. And I think it's a sad fact, my friends, that people don't like you to take your time with some things. I feel that. I know that. Because they are pressured to not take their time. And they are stressed out. And they can't take a free air, a free breath of fresh air. And one thing, also, when you make a mistake, you just keep on going. They can't, no one can stop you from taking another breath, you know? Don't let anyone stop you from taking a deep breath of fresh air. Yeah? I've got 15 minutes. I just looked at my laptop. Time for at least three more songs. How about one by the Beatles? And this is kind of like Desperado, this song called Hey Jude. You know, when Paul McCartney wrote this song, he was talking about Julian Lennon, John Lennon's son. And but it can be applicable to all of us, you know. I've always thought they wrote that song just for me because it fits the parameters of exactly what I was going through, you know, and what I'm going through. So here goes. Hey, Jude. Hey, Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. Remember to let her into your heart. Then you can start to make it better. Hey, Jude, don't be afraid. You were made to go out and get her. The minute you let her under your skin, then you begin to make it better. And anytime you feel the pain, hey Jude, refrain. Don't carry the world upon your shoulders. No, don't do that. For well you know that it's a fool who plays it cool by making his world a little colder. Am I talking to you out there? Is that you? Na 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 na. Well, maybe on the lower, an octave lower. Na 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 na. Hey Jude, don't let me down. You have found her. Now go and get her. Remember to let her into your heart. Then you can start to make it better. So let it out and let it in. Hey Jude, begin. You're waiting for someone to perform with. And don't you know that it's just you? Hey Jude, you'll do. The movement you need is on your shoulder. Na 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 na. Na 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 na. Hey Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. Remember to let her under your skin. Then you begin to make it better, 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 better. Oh! Anyway, that was my own twist to it, my own spin. But that's all. Time to move on and do another song. Doesn't have to be perfect, my friends, you know. You can always put a spin to whatever song you sing your way. Remember what Frank Sinatra said? My way. Okay, you asked for it. I sang it before. I'm not going to do it this time. We've got another song for you. It's called Silent Lucidity by a group called Queenswrite. This is about dream control. Anybody out there have dreams, or am I the only dreamer in the world? Dreamer, you know you are a dreamer. Well, you put your hands on your head. Oh, no. Okay, so it goes like this. How am I doing on time? 6:50, got 5 minutes. Hush now, don't you cry. Wipe away the teardrop from your eye. You're lying safe in bed. It's all a bad dream's spinning in your head. Your mind tricked you to feel the pain. Someone close to you leaving the game of life. So here it is, another chance. Wide awake you face the day. The dream is over, or has it just begun? So now, sometimes you got to speak. I'm actually singing this faster than the song, you know. But again, breath control is important. So here's the next part. I can remember it. I don't want to spend too much time trying to remember it. Because sometimes, you know, it's true that when you have the music, you can remember things easier. But then again, you're also breathing in time with the song, you know. It might lead to an early grave, you know what I'm talking about, when you're basing your breath control on a song, you know, because you're actually breathing to the song. It's best, you got to learn to breathe on your own, too. That's why a cappella, a combination of a cappella singing and regular singing with music is the best way to go. I can't remember the next verse, but that was good enough. Time to move on to the next song, which is I'm looking at my list here. Lights by Journey. It's about San Francisco. And it goes like this. When the lights go down in the city and the sun shines on the bay, ooh, I want to be there in my city. Oh, oh. Oh, 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 so you think you're lonely? Well, my friend, I'm lonely too. I want to get back to my city by the bay. Oh. Sad, oh, there's been mornings out on the road without you, without your charm. Oh, 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 my, 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 oh, 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 oh. When the lights go down in the city and the sun shines on the bay, oh, I want to be there in my city. Oh, 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 oh. One minute. Guess what? I just remembered that little verse. There's a place I like to hide, a doorway that I run through in the night. Funny how you remember these things. Well, my friends, I've got a few seconds left. I just took a drink of water. Thank you for listening. I'm going to be doing this more often, just FYI. And I think when I hang up, I'm going to sing a couple of more songs. For practice, I love you. May the creator of the universe bless us all, everyone, because we're related to the creator of the universe who initiated the Big Bang. I'll talk with you later. Bye-bye.